Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, another episode where we talk about managing this life God's way and for God's glory. This is True Stewardship. That is the real meaning of True Stewardship. And we are so glad that you are tuning in, either on the podcast or in 20 different cities around the country. Thank you so much for listening. Today is going to be much different. Today we're talking with the one and only Rachel Cruz. So be sure to send in your emails at chrisonair@stewardship.com, or you can call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Well, Rachel Cruz is in the studio today. So, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Chris. I'm so excited to be here.
You guys don't know this, but I get the opportunity and privilege to be able to work alongside the Rachel Cruz. So, over the last 18 months, she has poured into me just all of her mentoring. She has been a speaker and a personality here at Ramsey Solutions for quite some time. And, you know, you might not know what she's been up to. She's been up to so much that I want to fill you in a little bit on who Rachel Cruz is. Dave and Sharon Ramsey are her parents, but she was born the year that her parents lost everything and they filed for bankruptcy. She grew up watching the sacrifices that they made, and she learned how early in her life how to save for the future, how to spend wisely, how to avoid debt, how to give generously, what so many of us want to do more of. And of course, that fueled her desire to reach people and share the hard lessons that her parents learned, and it became her passion. It's why she spoke to audiences as large as 12,000 people at the age of 15, and why she travels the country today, encouraging audiences ranging from universities, other nonprofits, corporations, associations, you name it. She's on TV everywhere. That's probably where you've seen her most, appearing on Good Morning America, The Today Show, The Meredith Vieira Show, Katie Couric, Fox and Friends. Her video blog launched in 2014 with the goal of making money fun, and she does that. Her first book, a collaboration with her dad, called Smart Money, Smart Kids, that hopefully you have read. If you haven't, shame on you. It's amazing. If you're a parent, you've got to get it. Number one New York Times bestseller. In other words, that message is definitely resonating. She lives in Franklin with her husband, Winston, and their new addition, their little five-month-old little angel, Amelia. So, Rachel, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we work next to each other. We actually sit next to each other in the same area of the building. But this radio studio, you're doing pretty good. Did you know that? this is awesome. So I'll say I really am so thankful to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We were having a lot of fun here. And you grew up a Ramsey kid.
I know. Doesn't that sound horrible?
No comment. Give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, I think people think it's probably a little bit more exciting than it actually was. You know, the diehard Dave Ramsey fans probably think that we had like mutual fund parties growing up, right? And like budget retreats on the weekends and things like that. But thankfully that wasn't the case. You know, mom and dad obviously taught us about money from an early age. That was a huge part of their story. And like you said in the opener, that I was born the year they declared bankruptcy. So a huge pain point in their life I entered right about that time. And so my spending didn't cause them to go into bankruptcy. I was a few months old, so don't worry about that. But I think that for them, I mean, again, that was such a huge point in their lives where they just thought, okay, this cannot be the legacy we pass down. So they were very, very intentional with us with money, but at the same time, they were not obsessed with it. I think a lot of people assume that, you know, the dinner table, we talked about, you know, bonds and like, you know, like we talked about money all the time, and we didn't really at all. I mean, the only reason I knew my dad cut up credit cards is because there was a big billboard in Nashville when I was little of him, you know, with big scissors and a credit card. So, I mean, like, really early on, they were not crazy money fanatics. But it was beautiful how they wove in this topic of money growing up, that now as an adult, I look back and I don't have those memories of, again, spending weekends talking about money. but I see the real life example they played out mm-hmm. and how intentional they were in certain areas of life that then gave me the tools to go out and win as an adult. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is a huge passion to equip parents on how to teach their kids about money.
Yeah, it's cool to think that your entire upbringing, you've never even known debt. Like you didn't, in your lifetime, just never even like in the family, it's not even in the family.
Yeah, we weren't even allowed to say the word. It was a four-letter word in our house. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was something that for sure they showed us how to live without. And again, it was this. I was so thankful that it was this absolute in our life. Like you're not like that's not an option.
Yeah,
debt is not an option. And so that's how I grew up. And so having that absolute, you know, there's so many absolutes you need in your life.
Yep.
In all areas. And so that was one with money. And looking back, you know, gosh, I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you said, you know, you didn't have these mutual fund parties and didn't talk about bonds because money is so much bigger than money. And, you know, that's what we talk about on the show. It's what this show's about, that it's managing all of God's blessings. It's our relationships, our time, our energy. And it's been fun to watch you and your dad, Dave, in this context, navigate through that. It's just deeper. It's about generosity. It's about living this life God's way and for God's glory. One of those things that, he talks about a lot, and you talk about a lot, is entitlement. You grew up in doing pretty well. I mean, it was kind of after the fall, you guys started to do very well again, and that's part of the story. But it's been very easy for you to be entitled. How did you guys navigate not falling into that, or how did he navigate you not falling into entitlement?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if there's any sense of entitlement, that would be removed very quickly if we were children. You know, I think there's two parts. I think one, you know, thankfully mom and dad modeled a relationship with Jesus. And I think when you have that relationship, you see anything good in your life as a blessing mm-hmm. and that God laid his hand on it and God decided. Now you had to do the work. And that's the second part. I think they really taught us to work.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that. And so anything that I got growing up usually had to do with me going out and whether it was doing chores when I was little or had a part-time job or was babysitting as a teenager, the physical things that I had was a result of working hard.
Yeah.
And so I think those two things combined really helped eliminate this idea of entitlement, but also a sense of gratitude. And I think that that's an attitude that can be hard to teach at times. I think it is a heart issue. But now as my life, I try to practice it day in and day out. It's just being thankful and grateful.
Yeah.
And when you see things, you know, as gifts and blessings of the Lord, then it's easy to say, well, I don't deserve those, you know, mm-hmm. that he's giving those to me, again, with the sense of, you know, you're doing your due diligence here,
yeah.
what you can do.
Mm-hmm. You know, folks, we're talking about entitlement. We're talking about raising kids God's way for God's glory. They are a blessing from God. Not always. We don't feel like it always.
When they're 5 months, they are.
That's
as they're
right.
sleeping through the night like mine is.
Folks, Amelia is still perfect.
That's
so
right.
We're going to walk with that. But, you know, we're talking about managing our kids God's way and for his glory. And Dave modeled that in this area of entitlement. And it had been very easy for them to be entitled. But that's one thing that Rachel talks about is her upbringing, how it would have been easy to be entitled, but how Dave taught her to not have this spirit of entitlement. And so she writes all about that in her book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, a New York Times bestseller last year. I think it launched somewhere around April. I'm going to go 22nd.
That's exactly right.
Boom.
That's
yes.
amazing.
Yeah, April 22nd. So you guys can find out more about that and find out more about Rachel at stewardship.com. That's our one-stop shop on this show. You can go there and find out anything about anything. Anything that's on this show, we kind of put there so you can go to one place. We make it easy on you. So go under Chris Recommends, find out more about Rachel. But let's dive back more into this about being a Ramsey kid. What are some of those other lessons that you learned? You know, we're talking about something more than money and this whole idea of stewardship. What does that look like when we're parent? There's a lot of parents listening. How do they parent their kids when it comes to money? What's the first just foundational lessons that kids need to learn?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said money's never just about money, and that is so true. And so as parents, whether you're teaching them to work, you know, I think that that's a huge foundational principle, one that is missing, I think, sometimes in this generation.
Yes.
Is just the grit of just going out and working hard. And so with that, tactically speaking, mom and dad never gave us an allowance growing up. We were always on commission.
Mm.
So you work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. And
imagine
so
that.
I know, shocking, right? It's like the real world or something. And so, you know, understanding that money comes from work, money doesn't just come from mom and dad's back pocket, really gave us this sense of, okay, this is where money comes from. And some parents argue and say, well, no, they should just do chores around the house because they're part of the family. And that is true. Yes, I think there should be chores that they do because they're part of the family. But there are chores that you should pay your kids on if they do them because of the result. The result is they get paid. And when they have their own money that they've worked for, they give it differently. They save it differently. They spend it differently. They make mistakes that they feel. Yeah. Or if they have the reward of saving up for something, they feel that reward. And so just letting them feel the emotion of money. And it's so much more stronger if they've earned it. And so I think that that's such a guiding principle. But again, you're not just teaching them to work. I think a lot of times you're teaching them discipline.
Yeah.
And you're there to start something and to finish it well and to do it better. And I was the kid that I didn't do everything well, right? Like I was supposed to clean up my room and it was still a disaster, right? I like threw everything in the closet or under the bed. And mom and dad had to come out and be like, okay, Rachel, this is how you organize. This is what you do. So it's not going to be perfect, but you teach them how to do things well.
Yeah.
And teaching them to spend wisely, you're teaching them wisdom. You're teaching them how to make decisions. When they're learning to save up to pay for something, you're teaching them patience and delayed gratification. When they're giving, you're teaching them generosity. So through all these things, you're teaching them more than just money. You're giving them these life principles they can take with them as adults, which will help them win in the real world.
Yeah, so money is actually a parenting tool.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's an avenue that I think a lot of parents ashamed of or they're embarrassed by because they've made so many mistakes. And a lot of parents, I hear pastors say this too, they hate talking to their church about money because they feel like they've not done well in this area of their life. You just don't feel equipped. But out there for parents, I mean, I beg you to teach your kids this subject because no one else will. I mean, it's going to be reality TV or the car dealer on the dealership lot, right? I mean, like, who's going to teach your kids?
Exactly.
It's your job. So for parents out there, step up. Like, don't let your past mistakes keep you from your kids' future.
Wow.
Speak into their lives. Show them what to do. Be direct. Be firm at times. Give them grace. I mean, all the above. But talk about this. Don't shy away from this subject.
So Dave was firm with you and strict with you, but you didn't crumble and you didn't crash and you're okay.
I'm still alive, yes.
Okay.
But there were times of grace because we were not perfect. And so there were times, you know, they said, hey, it's okay, just better night. You know, you get it all, just like any parent. You feel it out. Some kids, you know, they were probably a little bit more firm with me than my sister Denise. She probably obeyed a little bit more than I
did. It's probably necessary, folks.
That's right. So as a parent, you know, guide it through yourself, but step up to the plate and really take ownership of the subject of your kids' lives.
Yeah. Rachel, is it, you know, I'm just trying to think of our listeners and where they're at. Is it ever too late to start?
No, it's not. It's never too early or too late.
Yeah.
Now, the way you approach it will be different. If you have a 16-year-old, that's going to be different than even if you have a 36-year-old. If you have an adult child that you can see that you just didn't do well on the subject when you raised them, and you know that they're an adult and they're floundering, maybe you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them as a friend because you're two adults versus teaching a 16-year-old. But it's, your approach will be different, but it's never too late.
Well, I'd hit a little bit on the Smart Money, Smart Kids, and I still can't believe I'm sitting down with a New York Times bestseller. This is pretty cool.
It's pretty. Do you feel the vibe?
I do.
I give out this wonderful... Not at all.
Tell us a little bit more about the class that goes with it. You've got the book, and many of our listeners have probably picked up the book. If you haven't, you should. And it's a good gift idea as well. Smart Money, Smart Kids. But tell us a little bit about the class, because what I'm hearing from you, it's never too late. And what I'm hearing from you is if they can develop these characteristics at an early age, they can carry it on into adulthood. This is really important stuff. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. Well, the class is designed out of the book. So taking six lessons out of the book, which is work, give, save, spend, debt, and contentment. And Dad and I, Dave Ramsey, we teach these together. Some of the lessons, it's just me. But we really go through equipping parents on how to teach their kids about money. So we go through different ages, different seasons of life, these different topics, these different character qualities. So all of it is talked through this curriculum. And it is geared a little bit more towards parents who have children at home.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much with people with adult children, even though it's never too late for them. But just to really give them tactical things to help teach their kids about money. And so it's a wonderful thing. You can do it as an individual or you can do it in a group setting.
Well, folks, if you're interested in that, which you should be, if we're looking to manage God's blessings, God's way for God's glory, I'm feeling convicted that I need to go take our kids through it one more time. But check that out at stewardship.com. And of course, go to Chris Recommends. And of course, Smart Money, Smart Kids will be right there. And you want to make sure that you take advantage of that. Of course, all of Rachel's information is there at stewardship.com as well. And this is Rachel Cruz that we're speaking with. Let me ask you a few more questions. First of all, I want to ask you, while I've got you here, I want to put you on the spot. Will you come back to the studio and actually answer calls?
Absolutely.
So they can just call in.
Oh, I would love it.
And parenting or...
Any Ramsey dirt you need, you just call in. I'll answer it. You know, anything. No, yeah. Mostly kids and money would be great, but anything. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The number is 866-357-3283. And if you don't want to be on air, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. And you can just call now if you want to. And if you can't get in, just leave a voicemail and we'll make sure that we coordinate it for the next time that Rachel's on. Now, going back to parenting, this give, save, spend thing, possibly I would think that there's probably some listeners right here who've tried that before. Let's say they've got an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, and 12-year-old. And let's say they earn $3 or $10 in a week. How does this practically look? Do you sit down at a table and make it a big deal? Is there like charts available? What can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say easiest for the parent is to have a chore chart on the refrigerator or somewhere that's kind of in the center of the family. Mm-hmm. And as your kids do the chores, check them off. This is what we did, so this is what I can say, to check them off. And then once a week, sit down with them and see the chores they've done, and you pay them on the chores they did, and you don't pay them on the chores that they didn't do. And then you take the money and have them and you helping them, you guiding them into dividing up their money in three areas: give, save, and spend. And if they're, you know, between 5 and 13, you could have even three envelopes that they put their cash in. And so what you want to do is you want to make them do all three. And some parents say, well, my child doesn't really save, you know, so I just let her spend, or my child just, loves to save and doesn't want to spend a dime. You really want to work all three muscles, if you will, with money. Yeah. And teach them from an early age all three things, because they need to do all three things. Yeah. But as a parent, you know, your kids are different. One of them might be a spender, one of them might be a saver. And I am a natural spender, still am. I was as a little kid. My sister and brother are natural savers. And So mom and dad had to work hard to teach me to save and make me save.
Yeah.
It wasn't up to me, because if it was up to me, I would spend everything. But building that patience and building that understanding of that you have to save up and have a goal for something. I remember Denise would save her spend envelope. And I thought she was crazy. I was like, you have a spend envelope. Spend it. Like, enjoy it. But so mom and dad had to encourage that in her. Hey, yeah. Spend and enjoy. It's okay. So, and then the giving aspect came very natural to all three of us, Chris, because we're perfect children. And we love just to give. That's who we are. No, but the giving aspect was in place as well, and taking that envelope to church. And yeah. And when I was a little kid, we had pews, and I was sitting on the pew, and there was a red velvet offering bag with two wooden handles on each side that would get passed down that aisle. And I would not only watch mom and dad drop a check in, a folded check, but I would take out my little $2 bills or whatever it was, and I would put it in. Yeah. And it was just an incredible thing, acting out giving. I mean, literally doing it. It sounds so tactical, but as your kids do that week after week, month after month, year after year, their hearts change.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you talked about this on the show, but you know, as you give, you become more like Christ, because he's a giver. We're made in his image, and he gave his only son. Like, we were created to give and to serve. And gosh, what a blessing to teach your child that and let them go through those actions, because it does. It makes you selfless the more you give. And what a beautiful thing to equip your child in, because selfless children are beautiful children, aren't they? I mean, they're wonderful. And so, again, this aspect of giving money isn't just about money. You know, you're learning so much more and learning that life's not all about you. And kids need that message every now and then.
Yes, I know mine do.
I need it too, right? Let's just be honest. We all do.
So, you know, this is foreign for me. I don't personally have a... 17 or 18 year old getting ready to go to college. And I know you don't either, but you've been the child that's been led well in this particular season. And let's just say there's some listeners out there right now, their kids are going off to college. What'd be some good advice? They're starting to get credit card offers. You know, their stats are horrible in regards to them falling into that trap. What would be some advice you'd give to them heading out to college and to parents on navigating through college years?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a huge time in a child's life where they make a lot of their devastating mistakes with money. A lot of them are signing up for that student loan at 18, that dotted line. And so that's my biggest red flag. When people say college, I immediately equate student loans.
Yeah.
And giving you parents hope out there that you can parent, number one, don't let your 18-year-old decide their future. Because what happens is I talk to, you know, a student, this happened last year, $80,000 in student loan debt going to this wonderful Christian college, but, you know, this the private college is what it was,
yeah,
with an $80,000 sticker with it, with an English degree, and he wanted to go be a missionary. And he asked me what to do.
Ouch.
I was like, what do you do? Like, you can't go be a missionary.
No.
You have $80,000 in just student loan debt. Like, that's not a house, right? I mean, and so, I mean, it really was this awakening for me to be like, wow, student loans are blocking. It's a roadblock for this generation.
Yes.
They're not able to go do what God has called them to do.
Yep.
And so parents out there, step up and show them the borrower is slave to the lender. When you get out of school and you have that you know, tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt, it cripples you.
Yep.
It limits your options. It limits your choices. So make smart decisions. Number one, stay in state or go to a community college.
Yeah.
Take that in-state tuition. The biggest mistake people make, they jump over that state line or they go to the school they just simply can't afford. Yeah.
Or a cute mascot.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, I wanted to go to this school. I'll give them a shout out. Auburn, you're wonderful, but I live in Tennessee. And I was like, I want to go to Auburn. And Dad was like, wow. I was like, they have a beautiful campus. And he was like, awesome. You get to pay the extra 20 grand out of state if that's where you want to go. And so make them think. And so choose a school they can afford, scholarships and grants.
Yeah,
I've heard countless stories about students, just that's their part-time job, applying for these scholarships and grants, getting free money.
Yeah.
You know, show your kids that, help them even. And then working, right?
Yeah.
It's a shock, but you can work while in college.
Yeah.
And research has shown us that the average college student works 20 hours a week. They can pay their way through an in-state school.
Wow.
And so buckle down and, you know, get that part-time job, work your way through, work for the university. They'll help with your tuition. You can live on campus for free sometimes. I mean, there's ways to go about it, but so many people are hopeless and they throw their hands up in the air and they say, well, if you want to go to college, the only way is to have a student loan. I'm sorry, that's the only option.
Yep.
No, it's not the only option. It's hard work. It's not fun, but sacrifice for those 4 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the next 40 years of your life, you're not paying back for those 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? The pizza you ate, the movies you saw, you know, all of that debt.
Yeah.
So getting through school without student loans, the biggest thing you can do, parents, is to help your kids in that. Not financially necessarily. If you can do that, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
But giving them the knowledge and the tools to walk through that season debt-free. And then, of course, avoiding, you know, credit cards. I mean, geez, you get free pizza now. You know, it used to be free t-shirts. It's free pizza now. They've really upped their marketing. You know, they really know who they're talking to. You get free pizza now with the credit card sign up. So avoiding those and living within your means, starting to budget, live on a budget, even, yes, at 18. Parents, sit down, show your kids how to do that. Show your kids how to budget. And just, you know, make smart lifestyle choices. You don't have to live in the apartment with the pool at the roof, right? I mean, like, live like you're in college so that when you graduate, you don't have to continue to live like a college student. So make those sacrifices in college. You know, those kinds of things. And again, it's kind of common sense. I say all of that, and I think people know it. They're probably nodding, saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But common sense has been ripped out of the thinking in America today when it comes to education, which is crazy that people are not smart about education. That's kind of like oxymoronic, right? But just to do that. And again, I want to give you parents out there permission to be a parent.
Yeah.
Parents, please, parents, step up to the plate and show them a wise way so that when they graduate, they're not crippled with student loan debt. They can go do what God is calling them to do.
That was rich. Man, you guys don't get to see the visual here. I'm seeing passion.
Probably a red face. I'm like yelling at Chris Brown over here. Sorry.
Well, that is so cool. Folks, I know that was a ton of pointers, just rapid fire. If you're listening on the radio, don't freak out. This is also available on podcast, so you can check it out at stewardship.com. And today's episode is right there at stewardship.com. Now, that just gives you a glimpse of some of the content that's in Smart Money, Smart Kids. You've got to go through it. I couldn't make that more urgent for you. So go to stewardship.com, go under Chris Recommends, and check it out. Of course, all of Rachel's information is there. Rachel, how do they stay in touch with you?
Absolutely. RachelCruz.com, and I'm on all social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Rachel Cruz.
Okay, very good. Folks, I do want to thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Of course, always feel free to email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call in at any time and leave a voicemail. give us some testimonies. Tell us what God's doing in your life, some milestones. And remember, if you have any questions specifically for Rachel, or maybe you just want to send some encouragement to Rachel for what she just poured into all of us, whatever it is, let's stay in touch. Of course, you can stay in touch with me on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram at Chris Brown On Air. Well, folks, God says a lot about money, and today we talked a little bit about that. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.